Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 56. Sorry, you turned away from the TV and the Longhorns score again, a 56-7 win over UTSA. And this game was never particularly interesting or close. I shouldn't say it wasn't particularly interesting. We did have Quinn Ewers going down with an abdominal injury. Backup Arch Manning coming in, and he had quite the day. And we are going to go over everything related to this game here in just a little bit. We'll take you through the scoring. We'll go through some of the box score. We'll talk about some of the key moments in this one. And we know here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Longhorns, and especially the Longhorns during college football season. Appreciate all y'all tuning in for your Texas Longhorns content. We're bringing you the best post-game analysis there is. Sometimes in-game, it didn't really feel like the play-by-play game, if you know what I mean. This one was pretty well out of hand by the second half. But look, some really, really big things, I think, out of this game, regardless of it being so lopsided. But look, Hook 'em Horns, we got the dub today. Survive in advance. That's all that really matters at this point. You play the teams that are in front of you. The Longhorns have cleaned up on basically everybody. And we're 3-0. And that is what's most important here. Texas on top. What's up, Bronx? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Texas on top. And are Texas going to take over the top spot with Georgia potentially losing this week against Kentucky? Tell me y'all have seen that. Georgia potentially going to be dropping a game against Kentucky. It is 9-6 right now going into the fourth quarter. UGA does have the football. They are at the Kentucky 28. You feel like the Dogs are probably going to pull this one out. But does Texas jump over Kentucky with the Bulldogs struggling a little bit today? Granted, it's on the road, but I don't think anybody had the Kentucky Wildcats being anything special this season. Again, looks like UGA probably going to pull out the win. I would not be betting on Kentucky to be able to finish that one. Would I love it? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen? No. I think UGA is probably going to find a way here. But with that being said, is this enough? Does this strike enough doubt in the hearts of some of the voters to get Texas into that number one spot? Look, at this point, it doesn't really matter to me personally. It's still so early in the season. Texas hasn't even gotten into SEC play yet. I think that's kind of the big test here. You have the Bulldogs getting into SEC play pretty much right away. Texas, I think, still has a couple of weeks before Mississippi State. So we got Louisiana Monroe, I believe, next week, then Mississippi State getting into SEC play pretty much every other week after that. Could this be the week, though, that Texas reaches the number one spot for the first time in a while? I don't know if somebody in the chat on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, X, wherever, some of y'all know when's the last time Texas held the number one spot in the college football rankings. I'd love to know it. It's been a while. It feels like it's been a while at least. But Texas potentially primed to take over that top spot. We will bring you the updates on the UGA game. It is 9-6 right now. Kentucky leading UGA. Bulldogs do have the ball pretty deep in Wildcat territory right now. 15 minutes left on the clock. And that Kentucky defense, look, we play Kentucky later on this year. Maybe that defense is for real. I still can't say I had this being a tight game at all. UGA was favored by 22 in this one. So, I mean, look, I think Vegas felt the same way. This was not meant to be a particularly close game. Let's talk through, though, some horns while we keep our eye on that UGA game. So right now, 3rd-and-1 at the Kentucky 28, 13:37 left. Let's keep on rolling here. So the big story, I think we got to lead off with this. Quinn Ewers, injured abdominal injury, happened right around the midpoint of the game. I believe it was in the second quarter at some point. And Quinn has been injured, I think, almost every season that he's played, whether it's at Ohio State or at the University of Texas. Look, I don't want to drop the injury-prone label on Quinn at this point. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that some of the injuries that he sustained have been you know, quote unquote, preventable. I think some of the injuries have happened as a result of something directly that's happened in a game. It might just be bad luck. But Quinn Ewers injured again, I think third time in three seasons for the Longhorns. Just unfortunate as he's looking to improve the draft stock you feel for Quinn. You wish that Quinn could stay healthy for a full season. And who knows if he misses a game. Look, I feel like they were being overly cautious today. You're playing UTSA. You're up by three scores. You've got a pretty capable backup in Arch Manning. I fully support the move to not play Quinn or try to even push through. You just don't need to do that. You're not even in SEC play yet. And I think you want to see what Arch can do. And you saw a lot of that. We're going to get to Arch in a second. But back to Quinn, you know, let's be completely real. Let's keep it 100 right now. Quinn Ewers is a top three, if not the best player in college football right now. And clearly I'm biased. You see the shirt I'm wearing right now. You know I'm a little biased, but I think that there's a pretty good argument that Quinn is the top player in college football. So I don't think there's any kind of quarterback controversy. We want Quinn back as quickly as possible. We want Quinn back as quickly as possible, but it's good to know that we are going to be in somewhat, look, it's not a great test today, UTSA, for Arch, but it looks like Arch can capably run the offense. I think he's looked as confident as he's ever looked. But Arch, at this point, he is going to definitely be getting some reps here, I think, in the next week. I would be a little surprised if they trotted Quinn back out there next week. I mean, you're playing Louisiana Monroe. Do we really need to risk Quinn getting injured? I wouldn't personally. If it's me, I'm starting Arch next week, looking to get Quinn right for that Mississippi State game to open up SEC play. We'll see, though, how bad the injury is. Just bad timing for Quinn. You just had the monster game in Ann Arbor at the Big House. And then you come back home. You have two games against Cupcakes, let's be completely honest here. And you're just looking to continue having this machine, this offensive juggernaut, just keep humming. It's unfortunate that we get a little bump in the road here with Quinn. You hope that he can come back, whether it's next week or the week after, whenever he is going to be ready and have the same rhythm and feel that he's had over the first few games. I think that that will happen. I really don't see any reason why it can't. This is his third year in the system with Sark. I feel pretty good that Quinn is going to be able to step back in confidently and still continue to play at a high level when the Longhorns start playing their SEC opponents. It's just bad on the timing. You wanted Quinn to be rocking and rolling, heading in to SEC play in a couple of weeks. You got Red River in about 3 weeks, October 12th is Red River, I think. So maybe still about a month away. I might be getting that Red River date wrong. I know it's October, and I know it's Oklahoma and then UGA back-to-back. So that's going to be a tough 2 weeks. I just want Quinn back for those games. That might be a situation. I know we all love Arch, and I know we all love what we're seeing so far from him, but those are some teams where you might start seeing him a little bit above his skis. We need Quinn Ewers back for that Oklahoma Red River game. We need Quinn Ewers back to play the Bulldogs in Austin. I believe that's October 19th, and we've got Oklahoma on the 12th. I absolutely think that you got to be cautious with Ewers at this point, and we'll get more updates on him, I'm sure. They were really coy about it at first. Maybe it was just weird timing with the reporting and all that, but it was kind of wild how long it was taking to really get what the injury was disclosed. I really don't understand that or know what that was all about. Maybe Sark just trying to play it coy a little bit, but I mean, that was just kind of wild. You had an idea what it might have been based on some of the sideline stuff that was going on, but labeled an abdominal injury at this point. Something that, you know, you can sometimes play through, but you take some shots and yeah, that thing ain't feeling too good, especially when you get laid out once or twice. So hopefully Quinn can get the rest he needs. I'm going to take some time here, check out comments, see what we got here on TikTok, and then I'll get to YouTube and everything like that. Raymond, what's up, man? I'm doing great. Longhorns get a win. I think the Rangers are playing right now. It's a great day to be a Texas sports fan. By the way, UGA just took the lead. They are up, looks like, 13-9 right now. 12:20 left in the game. So UGA finally taking the lead in this one. Tennessee is not the real UT. Come on now. Did y'all see Tennessee, by the way? So Tennessee is up big right now. I don't even know who they're playing. They're up big right now. They did an onside kick up 30-0. I think that is pretty classless. I'm not a fan of stuff like that. I think that's pretty Bush League. But, hey, I guess you do you, Tennessee. But an onside kick up 30? Yeah, I mean, look, maybe the quote is going to be from the coach, "We were working on something." Come on now, man. That's Bush League. 30-0 onside kick. Not a fan of that at all. Let me keep going here. So Georgia touchdown. Yep, covered that. 13-9 now. Look, I don't know. It might be just the fact that it took this long to get a lead against Kentucky. Does Texas hop over Georgia with the quality win on the road in Michigan? It's not going to surprise me either way. And neither is it that big of a deal if Georgia's number two or Texas is number one. It really doesn't matter. But look, at the same time, being the number one team, there's some pride involved with that. So I absolutely would not mind seeing Texas hop over UGA. Let's see what Kentucky can do. There's a long way left in this one, but you feel like Georgia's going to start putting their foots on the throat here in a second. It's been long enough that Kentucky has held this lead. We had nothing but field goals in this game up until that UGA touchdown. I'll keep going here with comments. Appreciate all y'all, by the way. Thank you so much for being a part of the show, hanging out. We can talk pretty much anything, SEC football, college football. We'll be going through the Longhorns more specifically, but we're going to get into everything here. We'll see what happens. Let's see. Kentucky's on the 42 at this point. We're kind of going to be locked in on this Kentucky-Georgia game, seeing what happens as we go through. But I am happy about the Longhorns getting the win. Arch Manning looking great. Manning with 5 touchdowns today, a 67-yard run. Look, the future is bright, Longhorns Nation. I think we are in capable hands when Quinn Ewers leaves. Arch Manning, it is against UTSA, but nevertheless, I think that we're going to be in good hands. You saw some good throws today, an outstanding throw. What was that, late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter? An outstanding throw from Arch Manning that ends up getting completed in the end zone. I think that one was Cook, right? Kind of the great over-the-shoulder, perfectly placed ball. I love it. Absolutely love it. So we have, I think, a lot to look forward to in the coming years once Quinn Ewers leaves. Arch was phenomenal. He was phenomenal tonight. I feel like in the past, he had come into games, maybe have been a little bit tentative. They kind of tried to do the run with the football thing, but they came out firing. First play, pass, touchdown, boom. I love that. I love that Sark just got his feet wet immediately. Actually, that was just a full immersion, dude. Go throw and get us a touchdown right now. I mean, look, it was a great first call, great first play, and you felt like that just gave Arch the confidence he needed to just roll in this one. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. All right, man, we're going to keep on going. We've got Kentucky, a 3rd-and-4. I've just got this one, by the way, y'all, on Gamecast on CBS, so if y'all got updates before, you let me know. But we're going to keep track of this UGA-Kentucky game, 13-9, Bulldogs lead, 10:40 left. Kentucky on the 42, on their own 42-yard line. Pivotal 3rd-and-4 coming up here. We are going to keep getting into some of the individual performances in this Longhorns game. We're going to go to the wide receivers next, talk a little Isaiah Bond, talk a little Wingo. Those guys balled out tonight with some big touchdowns, man. Arch was just spreading it around all over the place. Arch, I loved it, man. Touchdown to Bond, touchdown to Wingo. Right, touchdown to Cook, just spreading the love around. I love it, Arch. So big night for a lot of guys, and we're going to get into those here in just a second. So right now, by the way, it's if you're tuning in and wondering why we're not talking Texas Rangers, Longhorns game just ended, Rangers game still in progress. It's 2-2 right now in the top of the fourth, Texas tied with Seattle, a game that has some implications for the Mariners, not for the Rangers, though. Rangers will not be tasting postseason glory like they did last year. So we're college football right now. We'll be back later tonight to talk a little Rangers. So keep hanging out. Brian, thanks for tuning in, man. Appreciate you. Like I said, you want to come back and talk Rangers, I'll be going late night tonight talking Texas Rangers game. By the way, any of y'all tuning in brand new, we cover pretty much all the teams we love from Texas. I'm from the Dallas-Fort Worth area originally, so love the Rangers, love the Cowboys, love the Mavericks, and then the Longhorns, absolutely. Not from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, obviously, but the Longhorns tradition runs in the family for me. Did not go there myself, but a lot of family that did, and been a lifelong Longhorns fan. It's fun getting to do this, y'all. Appreciate all you guys. You make it possible. So thank you. We're going to keep hanging out, keep talking through some college football, and more specifically, the Texas Longhorns tonight. Kentucky right now, 3rd-1 on the UGA 36. So this one's not over yet. I thought maybe Georgia was about to step on the Wildcats' throats here and put this one to an end, but we've still got a game. So let's see if Kentucky can pull this one out, and the Longhorns, without a doubt, can take over that top spot. Let's keep going, though. Back to Quinn. Did have kind of an ugly interception before he came out of the game. Looked like he was a little bit off balance. Not a great throw from him. But look, still was 14 for 16 on the day, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 passing touchdowns for the Longhorns tonight. Very good numbers, respectable from Quinn, no doubt. Arch Manning, though, 9 for 12, 223 yards. That is a crazy average yards per pass there. 9 completions, 223 yards. My goodness. So we had Wingo leading the way with 127 yards through the air, 1 touchdown, including a 75-yard touchdown. Isaiah Bond, 5 receptions, 103 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great pickup in the transfer portal for the Longhorns. You love to see it. Running the football tonight, Gibson, he did have a fumble, which I think kind of marred an otherwise really solid performance from him. So Gibson tonight, 13 carries, 75 yards on the ground. Had a really great game. Did put the ball on the ground once, lost the fumble. I think we were actually driving around the 35-yard line at the time. So it wasn't the most costly of fumbles. Not ideal. He had 75 yards. Look, that's a great average per carry. Arch Manning had 3 attempts for 53 yards, 67-yard long. Obviously lost some yards here and there, but 67-yard rushing touchdown for Arch Manning. You did not have Blue active tonight. Injury. Blue did not play tonight. Normally, you have Gibson and Blue kind of tag teaming it. Wisner getting some carries as well. He was 6 carries, 20 yards. So, look, it was a little bit of everybody getting involved tonight, honestly. You had, let's see, almost 10 different guys carrying the football tonight for Texas. Love to see that. And the same in the passing game. You had, I think, 11 different guys catching a pass tonight. I mean, this is a very talented Texas Longhorns team. Sark is truly building something special right now. It is good to see this team humming. And good to see they went into Ann Arbor, had a dominating win, and then you come out against UTSA. Y'all remember last year against UTSA, the Longhorns needed a pick six late to make that score look like it actually should have looked. And that was like a one-possession game there heading into the fourth quarter against UTSA last year. I don't know if y'all even remember that or not. I mean, that was about to be an embarrassing game for the Longhorns. I think that was a game where Quinn Ewers was out, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think Quinn Ewers started that game. Maybe it was 2 years ago. It was either 1 or 2 years ago. I think Quinn was out. We had a couple of the backups wheeling and dealing, and it was really interesting late. So I'm glad that coming off a big emotional win in Ann Arbor, you come back home and you completely take care of business. We're going to get to some team stats here in a little bit. I'm just going to keep on checking the different comments here on YouTube, TikTok, everything. Appreciate all y'all hanging out. Tristan, appreciate you, man. He says, what a great day to be a Longhorns fan. Yep, absolutely. Good stuff from Manning, too. He came in about second quarter right before halftime. Great day to be a Longhorns fan. Hook him. And now, going back to that UGA game, Kentucky has just kicked a field goal to bring it within 1 point. So Kentucky makes it a 13-12 ball game. 51-yard field goal attempt from their kicker. Not the easiest kick, but Kentucky has now made it a 1-point game. Georgia going to be receiving the ball here in a second. 8 minutes left in the game. Kentucky making this awful interesting. Did not expect this at all. Georgia Bulldogs were favored by 22 points in this one. I mean, it was not something that I expected to see them trailing heading into the fourth quarter. Trailing heading into the fourth quarter. Did not have that one on my bingo card. So we'll keep going with Longhorns, and we'll keep our eye on this. Drop any comments, questions, anything you want to throw my way, drop it in the chat. Be more than happy to talk through it. We can talk SEC football, college football, anything you want. Georgia trash from a Duck fan. Hey, T-Rex, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Hey, look, it's hard to know how some of these teams really are and what they're capable of early in the season, especially when you really don't play anybody of note. So Georgia, this is what pretty much Clemson, and I don't know how big or high I ever was on Clemson coming into this year. I mean, I don't know. You guys feel free to disagree with me. Did anybody really think Clemson was going to be a juggernaut this year? I mean, I know they had a nice ranking coming in, and I'm not saying that that wasn't a good, solid win for the Dogs, but I surely didn't think Clemson was going to be a top dog this year in college football. Dabo Swinney refuses to go get guys in the transfer portal. It is what it is. He's getting left behind. Obviously, the Bulldogs, it's an impressive win coming out, playing Clemson your first game. But again, I don't know if you really, really know what the Bulldogs are going to be until they start playing some of these tougher teams. Now, I do think there's something to be said. A win like this, if you can get out of Kentucky with a dub after struggling, I do think that can be galvanizing to a team. So it's probably not the worst thing to happen to the Bulldogs, if we're being completely honest. You have this tight, tough, grinded-out game against a lesser opponent. You get a little scare, and that might be just what they need to lock it in for the rest of the season. I think that could definitely happen for them. Now, you lose this one. Clearly, the Dogs still have a very, very good chance at making the college football playoff now that it's expanded to 12 teams. But you'll absolutely see them fall a little bit in the rankings, no doubt. And that would have to be one of Kentucky's biggest wins in their program's history. Right now, we got 7 minutes, 55 seconds left. Bulldogs are going to take over at their own 25-yard line. They lead by one. A field goal here would be pretty big, considering that Kentucky has not hit pay dirt yet tonight. 4 field goals for the Wildcats. So you feel like UGA can get a field goal here on this possession at minimum. It's probably going to be hook, line, sinker for the Kentucky Wildcats. Stranger things have happened, but you feel like the Wildcats got to get a stop right here. No points on the board. Perhaps march down and get a game-winning field goal. I think that's probably the recipe for them at this point. Back to the Longhorns game. We're going to be going back and forth here. I'm going to go through a few other notables. So the defense, I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about just the stifling defense that has been played by Texas so far this year. So you give up 12 points against Michigan. I think that was very impressive going on the road, only giving up 12 against Michigan. You know, after that, or before that, excuse me, you had Colorado State, the shutout. The Longhorns have given up 19 points in 3 games for their defensive unit. This defense is for real. Absolutely for real. I think you saw that on full display last week. This week, you know, the defense gives up 7. I think that you had a couple of situations where UTSA had a short field. Every squirrel finds a nut occasionally, as they say. But this defense is legit. And a couple of notable performances on the defensive side. You had Anthony Hill Jr., 8 total tackles on the day, flying around from the linebacker position. Simmons, 6 tackles. Barron, 5. Benda had 4.5. He had a big game last week at Michigan. Follows it up, I thought, with another solid performance today. Let's see. The turnover battle. Turnover battle went. I'm going to just try and get all the team stats up here real quick so I can get penalties and talk all that kind of stuff as well. Turnover battle. We had Texas actually with, I think, a loss in the turnover battle. So we fumbled and we threw an interception. So we actually lost the turnover battle tonight, Texas Longhorns fans. But you know what? Anybody who watched the game, it was a dominating affair regardless of that battle being lost. We had an interception on the defensive side. No fumbles forced and no fumbles recovered tonight. But the defense was stifling. Defense was absolutely stifling. The Roadrunners were 3-for-17 on third down. 3-for-17 on third down. 2-for-4 on fourth down. But look, I mean, they're pretty much at that point. The game's out of reach. But 3-for-17 on third down. That tells you how dominating this defense has been so far. And they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch. I was a little uncertain. I needed to see that Michigan game to feel really, really good about them. And I think we saw what this defense is capable of. Only 19 total points allowed in three games this season. Clearly, they're going to be more tested once we get into the SEC. But I feel very comfortable, very confident with this defensive unit that we have got playing right now and playing at a high level at that. In terms of penalties tonight, we had 7 penalties. I think that Sark is going to probably go back, review the tape on some of those penalties. Obviously, I think the refs, by and large, do a decent job at calling things, but you know how it is. They don't always get it right. I'm sure Sark will go review film, but 7 penalties, I'm sure he ain't too happy about that. UTSA, on the flip side, only had 3. You want to be 5 or less. You do not want to be over 5. Ideally, you have right around that 3-4 mark at the most. You do not want to be up there sniffing double digits for penalties. So I think in practice this week, I'm sure that'll be emphasized, discipline. Against some of these really, really good teams, you're giving up that many penalties, they're going to make you pay. So I do think that'll be an emphasis in practice this week. Let's keep our eye on how they do in that department against Louisiana Monroe, against Mississippi State in the coming weeks. But hopefully the penalties can get cleaned up. Beyond that, I don't think there's a whole lot else for us to go through tonight. We have pretty much every stat line covered for you. We talked about the run game. We talked about Quinn Ewers and Arch and their days today. We talked about the receiving unit. We talked about Isaiah Bond and Wingo, their big nights going triple digits. We talked about the run game. Blue was out tonight with an injury. Gibson stepped up, had a really nice game. Minus that fumble lost. I'm sure he wants that one back badly, but Gibson, 75 yards on the ground and only 13 attempts. It was a pretty complete performance all the way around for Texas. All the way around. The explosive pass plays were so big tonight. I know Sark talked about that on the post game. I am just really excited for this team and this season and the future. I think Sarkisian is building a juggernaut in Austin, and I'm here for it, clearly. But I think that Texas is going to be good for several years to come, hopefully many years to come. We'll see what comes out on Quinn. Not sure if there's going to be any updates. I'm reading right now some Twitter updates. Sarkisian doesn't have an update on the timetable for the oblique abdominal strain for Quinn Ewers, but they don't believe it's structural. Sark says the medical staff didn't think that Jaden Blue could play after his ankle sprain last week. Wisner got a tweak and could have gone back in the game, but the staff decided to go with the other backups. So there's the running back injury update. Let me see if we got anything else. This is from Texas center Jake Majors. If you take Arch, for example, he prepares like a starter. That's what every guy in this program does. Whenever you go throughout the week, you prepare like a starter so you're ready when your number is called. Hey, great quote from Jake Majors. And it looked like it today with Arch Manning. It looked like he stepped into that game and didn't miss a beat. Nice that they were able to get Arch in that game number one. So this doesn't have to be a total shock to the system coming in unexpected. I think they're going to try and work Arch in regardless this year just to get his feet wet for when he fully takes over next season. But it looked like a lot of guys that stepped in, second string, third string guys, were just 100% ready to play tonight. Nobody was taking plays off, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Let's go back to this Georgia Bulldogs game, y'all. It is getting interesting quickly here. So Georgia has punted. Kentucky has the ball back. 3rd and 6, though, on their own 20-yard line. So big play here. 5:44 left in this one. It's going to take a lot, I think, for the Wildcats to pull this one out. Big 3rd and 6 play. Let's see if they can come through. I'll keep checking comments. Appreciate all y'all tuning in tonight. Thank you so much. We cover pretty much everything sports here, but big emphasis on the Texas Longhorns and all the other teams we love from the great state of Texas. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. Great day to be a Longhorns fan. Texas wins 56-7 over the UTSA Roadrunners. So right now, a little update for you. Still 3rd and 6, 5:44 left in this one. Don't know if we got a timeout or what's going on here. I am not watching that game live, by the way. Might have to see if I can get it on, though, while I am watching, while I am on the live here with you guys. That is going to be a great finish. Man, would I love to see Kentucky finish that one out. That would be probably their biggest win in program history, wouldn't you think? I know they've had a couple big ones in recent seasons, but that would have to be one of the bigger ones in program history, I would think. Shoot. Man, I definitely am excited to see how this one finishes. Let's keep things going. Next week, University of Louisiana Monroe. Texas actually has three straight home games. UTSA tonight, Louisiana Monroe next week, and then Mississippi State on the 28th. Then a bye week. The Longhorns do not play the weekend of October 5th. Then you have Red River on the 12th, and then UGA on the 19th. And that is the schedule from here on out. So Texas, fortunately, gets some home cooking over the next few weeks. Red River, not a home game per se, but you're going to have half the stadium on your side in that one. And then you come back and you get to play UGA at home. So look, you have a pretty nice schedule here. Three out of the next four games at home. And again, the Cotton Bowl, not home field advantage, but you got half the stadium behind you. I think it's a pretty fortuitous schedule for the Longhorns at this point. That Georgia game is going to be the big one. Got to get through Red River. Can't overlook the Sooners by any means. Got to get some revenge on them for last year. And then get the momentum and ride it going into that October 19th showdown with Georgia. That is going to be a huge game. I've got that one circled. I cannot wait for that Georgia game. Cannot wait for that one. That's going to be awesome. Let me go back to this Georgia Bulldog, Kentucky Wildcat game. The Wildcats do convert the 3rd and 6. They now have the ball 1st and 10 at their own 30, excuse me. They are driving, less than 5 minutes to go. Man, this would be a crazy comeback. I'm going to see if I can actually pull this one up on ESPN. Hopefully it doesn't mess with my connection too much. I'm going to have it muted, but I'm going to see if I can pull it up, give y'all a little play-by-play on that Kentucky-Georgia game as it finishes. Whew, it's going to be tough for them to pull this one out. By the way, Tennessee playing Kent State, and it's 71-0. Again, Tennessee, 30-0 score, and you're onside kicking. I do not get that at all. At all. But you know what? To each their own, I would not be happy if I was getting punked like that, though, on the other team. Like, come on now. It's 30-0, and we're onside kicking. Just not my favorite decision there. But you know what? I don't get paid the big bucks. Hey, that Tennessee coach, I guess let him do him. Oh, my goodness. We're getting this Kentucky game up. I can't just watch this game cast on CBS any longer. I got to see this live, so I'm going to watch it. I'll mute it so it doesn't interfere with any of our audio here. Kentucky trying to knock off the number one Bulldogs. Right now, 3:03 left on the clock. And we've got a 1-point deficit, 13-12 here. Looks like Kentucky is punting right now, though. They got to about midfield. It's 4th and 13, so I think, unfortunately, you got to punt. Chances are pretty low that you're going to convert a 4th and 13. So got to punt. They send this one fairly deep. He's going to fair catch it at the 15-yard line. So UGA is going to have the ball with 2:58 left at about the 15-yard line here. We're going to finish this one out with y'all right now. We'll finish this one out and see if we can't get a Kentucky Wildcat victory here. Gabe, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. We're doing Longhorns right now. We're going to do Rangers a little later tonight. But right now, the Rangers, if you are interested, it was 2-2 last time I checked in the 4th inning. Don't know if that's changed a little bit. I'll get the game up here. We've got 4-2 right now. That's what I like to see, 4-2 in the top of the 5th. Beautiful. But yeah, right now we're doing a little Texas Longhorns recap. Game's over. Longhorns won. Let's see, 56-7. It wasn't even close, but we are finishing out watching this Georgia-Kentucky game. Kentucky stuffs Georgia behind the line. It's going to be 2nd down and 11 to go, and I believe Kentucky's going to start using those timeouts. Looks like they have called their first timeout. It's 2nd and 11 for UGA. They lead by 1 over the Wildcats in Kentucky. Stadium is pretty dang full. Not a big, big stadium, but it looks to be pretty full under the lights on a Saturday night. Let's keep on rolling, y'all. We have, I think, a couple of other talking points that we can go with. First of all, I think I've continued to talk through this. It has been really interesting to consider the new 12-man college football playoff system. Personally, I'm a big fan of the move. I am really curious to see how things are going to shake out when some of these big teams start losing. So, look, you get a loss from Georgia tonight, for example. I think a one-loss Texas, Georgia, a lot of these big SEC juggernauts, I think a one-loss team makes it in. Two-loss teams, we'll see. I don't think there's any chance a three-loss team makes it in. But maybe. I mean, I think stranger things have happened with this committee. But I am very curious to see what happens when some of these teams start dropping games, how they are affected in the standings. Georgia's going to do a play action here, and they have got a wide open receiver. He's going to take it out of bounds at the 48-yard line. So UGA throwing the ball there, bold move, but it paid off in a big way. Great play action, wide open receiver, and he did go out of bounds. Probably the only thing he did wrong there. But UGA now is going to have it at about midfield. They have a one-point lead on the Wildcats. You feel like a field goal, any kind of points here is basically a death sentence. Kentucky has just not been able to drive this ball at all game long. Nothing but field goals for the Wildcats. They're going to do a little run, maybe a 1.5-yard gain, and it's going to be second down. I think Kentucky is going to let the clock run here and save their timeouts for third and fourth down. Clock is just ticking under 2 minutes right now. We're finishing out the Georgia-Kentucky game. We've talked about the Longhorns. We went through all of the key moments, the box score, the players of the game. We talked about the Quinn Ewers injury and Arch Manning stepping in, scoring 5 touchdowns. We're going to a little commercial break here, as I believe Kentucky has called timeout. So we're going to finish this game out with you, and then we'll be back later on tonight to talk Texas Rangers postgame. Look, if this game lasts any longer, we might just go ahead and go right into Rangers from here. But I think we'll take a little break in between. So any of y'all hanging out for our usual Rangers stuff, we'll be back in a little while talking Texas Rangers baseball. Appreciate all y'all. Let me keep going. I'm going to go back to some comments here. Appreciate the follows. I see a couple people have followed on TikTok. Really appreciate all y'all. Thanks so much. We're hanging out, talking some Texas Longhorns football. Hoping for a Kentucky Wildcats win against the Bulldogs here. It's looking a little bleak. UGA kind of turning it on here late and trying to deliver the knockout punch. This would be probably Kentucky's biggest win in program history. Going to be tough for them to pull it out, but we shall see what happens. This game is still a commercial break, by the way. I think under 2 minutes to go at this point. Right now, I got to say, looking at Georgia, I clearly think they've got some dogs out there, no pun intended. They've got some big athletes. They've got some guys that can play. I do feel like just the eye test, I think Texas can hang with them. I'm not saying it's a win. I'm not saying it's a certain victory, but I do think that the Longhorns can hang with the Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a great game. The game being in Austin most certainly helps. If this was in Georgia, I might feel a little bit differently, but this game being in Austin, on October 19th, Georgia coming to town, it most certainly helps the Longhorns. And I do feel like they match up pretty well against Georgia. I don't think it's a crazy mismatch or anything like that. Look, there's a lot of time in between now and October 19th, but nevertheless, I think that the Longhorns have a very good chance of winning that game. And wouldn't that be a statement? That would be a huge statement. Texas gets that win against Georgia in their own house, no doubt. Yep, Georgia. Yeah, what's up, man? I see we got a couple of Georgia fans coming to join us. Appreciate all y'all, by the way. Georgia's trying to hang on here. Look, I'm not going to even lie to y'all. I'm not going to be obnoxious because, look, if Georgia loses, it's not like they're even out of it. You can be a one-loss, probably a two-loss team and still be all right with this 12-team playoff. But I'm going to be totally transparent. I hope Kentucky can pull this one out. Just like I'm sure all y'all would be thinking the same exact thing if this was Texas on the ropes. But we'll see. I think that Georgia's probably going to be able to close this one. We got under 2 minutes left. The ball's at midfield. Look, even if you don't get a first down, you're going to have Kentucky pinned deep. This is a Kentucky offense that hasn't done anything all game long. Ideally, you get the field goal here at least to ice the game. I don't think Kentucky's scoring a touchdown. I feel like a field goal pretty much ices this one. But here we go, 2nd and 8. I got the game up live here on the PC while we're going, so I'll bring you the play-by-play. Don't know names, so I'll try and be as specific as I can be. We got another pass play, a little screen to the tight end. He's going to get all the way to, looks like, close to the first down marker, about the 41-yard line. They're going to mark him just short. So it is going to be a third and short, and this is probably going to be the game. It's probably going to be the game. That looked like it was a fumble. Looked like it was a fumble. Now, alert, one of the Georgia wide receivers jumps on it. That ball was coming out before he landed. That ball was coming out. So that could have been a game-changing play. Number 11 for the Bulldogs. Give him a lot of credit. Alertly pounces on that football. Kirby Smart trying to rally the troops. That dude is getting fired up right now. I love to see it. Kirby Smart is getting fired up right now. My goodness. Love it. Right now we got a timeout, Kentucky, and they're going to review this one. It really would affect the first down call. Now, I don't know if the ball advances forward on this or not. Maybe it does. If it does, I think it's a first down, Georgia. The ball looked to be recovered in first down. I don't know what the rule is. I get confused between NFL and college. It would be a first down if they gave it to him at the spot of the recovery. And it does look like it was a fumble. It looks like the ball was coming out before number four hits the ground. So we'll see what they call on this one. I'm very interested to see. This shouldn't be a long review. It frustrates me to no end when there's long reviews like this. By the way, anybody tuning in, we're watching the Georgia-Kentucky game right now live. I got it up. Kind of window picture-in-picture here. I'll bring you all the play-by-play. Looks like the review's over. They're just trying to mark some down and distance stuff. I'll see what the call is here on this one. Should be a fumble with the recovery at the first down spot. Don't know. Yeah, it looks like it's a first down here. So I don't think that Kentucky has a shot anymore at this point with that ball being marked where it was, alertly recovered by number 11, wide receiver for the Georgia Bulldogs. So we got first down now, first and 10 at about the 40-yard line of the Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky does still have two timeouts left. I don't know if they're going to end up winding clock here, but that review actually worked out in their favor. There is a very small chance Kentucky still gets the ball back. But it's pretty bleak right now. Chances are very bleak the Wildcats are going to be winning this ball game. I mean, I would be 100% shocked if they end up pulling this one out. We'll still finish it to the end. But right now, first and 10, a minute 40 left. Ball on the 41-yard line of the Kentucky Wildcats. Bulldogs driving. Looks like the clock will wind. So they'll let that clock wind. It'll get down to about a minute and 15 seconds before the snap. And then Kentucky will have two timeouts. Looks like we're going to get a student body right here from the Bulldogs. Little motion. Actually, they're going left or right up the gut. About a 2-3 yard gain. And Kentucky will call a timeout here. So you play this one out. They'll be able to stop after third down. And then fourth down, if you get a stop, you'll have about 35, maybe 30 seconds left if you're Kentucky, if you can completely hold them here. So we'll see if Kentucky can get this ball back. You feel like Georgia might attempt a field goal depending on how far they get down there. We'll just have to wait and see here. Who do I hope wins? Anthony, what's up, by the way? I think if I had to be honest, I hope Kentucky can pull it out, but I really don't care that much. I'm kind of wondering if this is going to create enough doubt for the Longhorns to jump up to the number one spot. And I don't think anybody is rating Kentucky high up there. I don't think anybody's rating them high up there. So I feel like this game might create just enough uncertainty that maybe Texas leapfrogs and takes over the number one spot. They have the quality win on the road in Ann Arbor. Yes, Georgia has the Clemson win, but I still say neutral field and Clemson don't really know how good they are. I know you could maybe argue the same thing for Michigan, but I say you went to the big house and you cleaned up. Georgia's going to get a first down here, but I think we've got a penalty, maybe a block in the back here. I think it's going to bring it back and stop the clock. So this one's not over yet. Not over yet. But like I said, I don't have a lot of confidence in this Wildcats offense to go down and score a touchdown. Yeah, block in the back on Georgia, really unnecessary. I mean, you talk about it, and it was number 11 who just made the huge play to recover the fumble that got them a first down. really kind of an unneeded block in the back. I think that they could have probably still picked up positive yards without it. So now you've got the clock stopped and you've got a second and long here. Second and long with the clock stopped. Second and 15 to be specific. This knocks them out of field goal range. So I'll be curious if they're going to get the ball, keep it on the ground or throw it in the air. We'll see here. Second and 15. I think you got to run the ball right here. So you should be able to get a stop if you're Kentucky. It is a run up the gut. Beck keeps it, though. He's going to gain about 5 yards. They were not expecting Beck to pull that one. Beck boots it out. He looks like he might be hurt. I don't know. He's getting up a little gingerly. That's not what you want to see if you're a Bulldogs fan. Beck getting up a little gingerly. Looks like he's going to stay in the game. But he is definitely walking around a little gingerly, kind of holding the arm weird. And I don't know. He took a shot on this tackle. Let's see what happened here. So defender goes for the ball. Second defender comes in. Yeah, maybe an awkward fall. It didn't look like that hard a contact. It's going to be 3rd and 8. Kentucky calls the final timeout. So you figure this is going to get down to about 15 seconds if Georgia does not pick up the first down here. They can wind it down to about the 15-second mark. Thoughts on the Indiana win? I don't think I've got a lot of thoughts on the Indiana win right now. I'm not even going to lie to you. I can't say I've even got an idea of what the score of that game was. Man, look, I'll look it up right now just to humor you while we got a little time on this timeout. Although Georgia lining up right now. 3rd and 8, 1:04 left. Here's the snap. Looks like we got a little hard count. Trying to draw offside. Did not work. Beck's getting the play from the sideline here. You got to keep the ball on the ground here. I mean, look, maybe they're going to be ballsy and throw it. I would not be throwing the ball right here. You got to keep the ball on the ground. And they do. Ball goes up the gut. Hard run. It's going to be about 5 yards short. So you're going to be able to wind this down to about 18 seconds left. I'm sure Georgia will wind it, take their time out, and then talk about what they want to do. So they're going to wind this all the way down to about 17, 18 seconds left. All right, let me get to this Indiana score right now. Indiana, what do I got to go out of the top 25 here? Probably. Did they play a top 25 school? And I don't even know. I got to search this up. 42-13 over UCLA. They're 3-0. Look, impressive. Don't know how good UCLA is, though, just to be completely honest with you. But look, Indiana undefeated. Indiana undefeated. Let's go. Frankie, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Tell you what, give me a second. I'll get to Buffalo in just a little bit. We're going to do NFL tomorrow. So I'll make sure I come back to this, bud. Hang out for just a little bit longer. Let me see what's going on in this Georgia-Kentucky game we're finishing out right now. We're going live, play-by-play on the Georgia-Kentucky game. Georgia up by 1 with 18 seconds left to go. This one's coming down to the wire. Oof, my goodness. But let me get back to that question. So Bills got a really nice win on Thursday night. A little fortuitous that Tua gets hurt. Clearly, we're all hoping that Tua is going to be all right. I mean, look, as much as the Bills and Dolphins have gone back and forth, I mean, look, over the course of the last several seasons, I don't think anybody wants to see Tua get hurt like that. But, you know, I love Josh Allen. I think that dude is an absolute gamer. Would love to have him as my quarterback. I'm a little curious to see how everything shakes out with the receiving core losing Diggs. I didn't love that move, getting rid of him. I would have loved to have seen them work out something. I know he had a little bit of a down year last year, but we'll see. I really, though, am pretty high on Buffalo. I think the defense is pretty solid. I think they're going to have a good shot. And if Tua is down in that division for any amount of time, I think the Bills have a pretty good chance to run away with it. So it's a good time to be a Bills fan. That's my 2 cents on the Bills. I do feel bad for Tua, absolutely. Look, it would have been fun to have the whole entire game with both those quarterbacks going at it. Can't control injuries. But right now, back to this game. Georgia is actually on the field right now. They're going to snap this ball. It looks like they were just trying to draw them offside. So maybe a second timeout called here. If it's me, I'm probably going to punt this football. If it's me, I'm punting, and I'm making Kentucky have to drive the length of the field. Personally, I don't think that it's going to be a possibility, even remotely. I mean, they're not even be able to get into field goal range. there's going to be about 9 or 8 seconds on this clock by the time the punt is down. So I am not hopeful for the Kentucky Wildcats here. They would have to have an epic punt return. And I don't even think they're going to get an opportunity. If you're the special teams coach for the Dogs, you're saying kick this thing about a mile in the air and just kill as much time as you can. I want to see your best hang time of the season right here, right now. So let's see what they got. Ball is snapped. Punts up. It's a high one. Think they're going to probably let it bounce here. And that one is maybe going to be a touchback. I really don't know what they are going to call on this. Really curious move. Might be a touchback. We'll see what happens. Final play incoming here in just a few moments. And then we are going to call it a show. Let's see, though, if we can get a little magic here late. I wouldn't mind seeing Georgia getting knocked off, but I'm not holding my breath. Let me put it to you that way. They're going to talk about it here for a little bit, though. But looks like Kentucky is going to trot out on the field. Maybe Georgia going to talk it over a little bit, but I don't think you have to get too cute here. You got about 80 yards to go for pay dirt for the Wildcats to score. They're not going to be able to get into field goal range. Look, 4th and 13 for the Wildcats at midfield. That was it right there. You just can't get into a 3rd and long, 4th and long situation. You got to give yourself an opportunity to be able to go for it. Kentucky lining up right now, 10 seconds on the clock. Need a little bit of magic here late. Let's see if they can pull it out. All right, here we go. At the line. What do we got? A timeout here, man. This is just a game that never ends. My goodness. I don't know if we've got a timeout being called by the Bulldogs or what, but small delay here, and then we'll get you the final outcome here. Right on Rangers Live. We reviewed the Texas game today. Longhorns got a big win, 56-7 over UTSA. It was fun talking about that. The Arch Manning debut. Ball's just about to be snapped here. Quarterback's going to step up. Nobody to throw to. He does get it off, but it's going to be a tackle inbounds. I think they might stop that clock. That clock should have probably stopped. I don't know. That clock probably should have stopped. He looked to be tackled. With a couple of seconds left, I don't know what they're going to do here. It looked like he was down with about 1.5 or 2 seconds left. I don't know how they're going to call this. Yeah, they're putting 2 seconds back on the clock. They should have enough time to run one final play. I thought for sure they let that clock wind forever. Come on, where's the home clock guy when you need him? Oh, my goodness. I have no idea. What is the home clock guy doing on that play, dude? I mean, you got to immediately call that. So right now, I got sound off. So if any of y'all can help me out, I think they're doing a review here to see when the knee went down. And it looked to me that it was pretty clearly down with at least 1 second. Oh, yeah, that's 3 seconds on the clock when that elbow hits. So they're definitely going to get one more playoff. I didn't think that was particularly close. So for me, look, the clock guy's got to be better. The ref's got to be better there. But look, they're getting it right. We can't get on them too much. They're getting it right now. There's going to be about 2 or 3 seconds left in this one. Kind of nice for Kentucky. Like, if you're Kirby Smart, I don't think you love that they're getting this extra little timeout right here. But, hey, they'll take it. It's not going to make a difference. But, man, it would be fun if it did. It would be real fun if it did. So 3 seconds left on the clock, just as I said. And we're going to get the ball snapped here. Kentucky coach giving some final instructions, saying a couple of prayers. We'll see if the Wildcats have some magic here. Is the quarterback under center right now? What are we doing? Oh, you're going to clock it. Okay, you're going to clock it. And I guess you have 20 more seconds to talk it out, whatever it is. I would have just run a play there. I don't think you really have any better shot doing this, but and look, you had a bunch of time to talk about what play you wanted to run, I guess. I mean, that makes sense. Now you can set up a little pre-snap. All right. Nevertheless, here we go. Maybe the final play. Here comes the ball. Quarterback drops back right down the middle. They can't get the hook and ladder off. That is going to be ball game. And the Georgia Bulldogs are going to escape. Final score, 13-12. Don't know what it's going to mean in the standings. Personally, I think the Longhorns probably should hop over. But, you know, sometimes when you're in that one spot, you just got to win to maintain it. But I would not surprise me if the Longhorns take over the top spot. I think that this loss, this win from the Bulldogs, real suspect at this point. Is this just a little hiccup? Is UGA not quite as good as advertised? Everybody sometimes has to deal with these little scare games here and there. They dealt with it and they won. I actually think it's probably going to be pretty galvanizing for the team. If you're Kirby Smart, you have a lot of bulletin board material. You have got a ton of stuff that you can push these guys on in practice in this coming week. So this could be actually a positive for Georgia long term. Short term, though, does it maybe knock them out of the number one spot? We will see what tomorrow. Look, it doesn't matter at this point whether Texas is one or two. I really personally don't care. It would kind of be fun to be number one, though. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm not going to lie. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. We are going to go ahead and we are going to finish this one out for today. Longhorns get a 56-7 win against UTSA. Georgia barely survives against Kentucky. Would have been fun to see an upset. It really would have been. Was not meant to be. I wonder, though, is tonight enough to put a little doubt in the voters' minds? Texas maybe bumps up. I really would like to see it personally, but I ain't going to get too upset if it doesn't end up working out that way. Now, let me go ahead and just say this one final plug here. I'll be back in a little while to talk some Texas Rangers baseball. Here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Longhorns and the Rangers, and especially those two during football and baseball season. But we're big Cowboys fans here at Right on Rangers. We love the Dallas Mavericks as well. We'll be back tomorrow to talk Cowboys. It's a great weekend. Great weekend to be a Dallas-Fort Worth sports fan and a Texas Longhorns fan as well. I believe the Rangers are winning right now. It's been a while since I checked. It's 4-4 right now in the bottom of the sixth, it looks like. So that'll be fun to finish out. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back at you probably in about an hour to 2 hours, something like that, to talk some Texas Rangers. Appreciate all of y'all. If you know someone that loves the Longhorns, the Rangers, the Mavericks, the Cowboys, please send them my way. I'd be very, very grateful. Let's keep growing this good group of people we got talking college football, talking all sports. I love it. Hope y'all have a great rest of your weekend. If I don't see you, I'll be back next week. Post game after the Longhorns take on Louisiana Monroe. Hopefully another solid, strong victory before we get tested a little bit in the SEC against Mississippi State. That's the plan. Have a great weekend, y'all. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and hook 'em.